right, here's the deal. I am recording the intro to this episode directly into my phone. I'm on the road. I'm traveling back from Utah to LA. Finished the movie. All wrapped. We're done. The whole movie's done. I'm done. The whole movie's done. And I'm heading back to LA to get back to my regular schedule. I've got my whole podcast rig with me, but it's all out in my car. And it's 12:30 at night right now. And I do not want to go out there and set up my whole podcast rig only to break it back down and pack it back into the car tomorrow morning. So just, we're going to deal with phone audio for the intro of this episode. All right. All I have to say really is that the music video that I directed in January for Tiffany Topol's song, Teenage Feeling, is out right now. Right now, you can go to YouTube and type in Tiffany Topol, Teenage Feeling, or you can go to iTunes and type in Tiffany Topol, Teenage Feeling, or you can go to Tidal and type in Tiffany Topol, Teenage Feeling, TiffanyTopol, Teenage Feeling, and watch that music video right now. I think you should. Really proud of it. Really happy with how it came out. The reception so far has been very positive. And today on the podcast, that's what Tiffany and I are talking about. We're talking about our love for music videos and for the golden era of music videos that we came of age in, when you'd watch music videos all day long on VH1 and MTV and The Box. And that's what we're talking about. Okay. All right. So here we go. From a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. Except none of those things, because I actually did this in my dad's office up in Sandy, Utah. But whatever. This is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm talking with my good friend Tiffany Topol about music videos. Yes, I do. I like that shirt a lot. That's the shirt.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
We had to get a bunch of shirts to decorate your room with for the video. We're live, by the way. This is it. We're going.
I see the little, yeah.
It's happening. We're on YouTube right now. Someone somewhere in time is listening to us on Spotify. Someone in time somewhere is listening on Apple Podcasts or something. Somebody's watching this a day later, maybe, but we're doing it right now. Live on YouTube. As far as we know, in like 1 hour for you, Eastern time, the video will be live. As far as we know.
Apparently.
That's what we think. Yeah. I think for most people listening to this episode or watching it right now on YouTube, the music video should be able to watch it right now.
Right.
I think. That's what I'm hoping by tomorrow morning I'll know. But right now I'm believing.
They said that it would be out. So I trust them.
That's what they said. So all right.
Great.
I really still feel so technically illiterate sometimes as a millennial, where like there's just certain things about the internet where I'm like, I think I did it right. I don't know. And people seem to know how to do stuff that I just, and I'm a full-time internet person. I do this as my job, and I still, so much of the time, I'm just like, I don't know. I think I did it right. I don't know.
I feel like maybe you've had this experience too, but in terms of uploading to streaming anything, always feels like a crapshoot, because once you upload it, it's out of your hands, and now it's just like, it's a little behind the curtain.
Yes, totally. When I'm uploading music to Spotify or something like that, like especially like the podcast goes to Spotify. I don't get why DistroKid takes so long. I really don't, because my podcast, I upload it through Audioboom, which is my audio hosting platform that I use. And it's up on Spotify in like an hour. Like it's just like boop and there it is and it's up. And if I'm uploading a song though, it's like you need to schedule this 3 to 4 weeks out. Like you need to schedule this a ways out, because they have all these things, like, I don't know, copyright things that they put it through.
They do copyright checks.
Yeah.
For sure.
But it's like long. And then you're just sort of like, I scheduled it to come out on May 15th. I don't know if it's actually going to come out on May 15th. That's like, so you're telling people, you're like, I'm pretty sure. They said when I finished the process, it said, you've done everything correctly. This will be out by May 15th. But I haven't gotten like any confirmation emails since then. So I'm just sort of waiting. Right. It's yeah, it is a little behind the curtain.
And I always wish there was like, this is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to sound like. This is what it's going to be like. This is what the experience will be like. Like, I wish there was like a full preview, because I get total panic. And I'm like, what if I uploaded the wrong file? Like,
yeah. What if it's like corrupted? Like, what if the file in the uploading process became corrupted? And then after 4 weeks of waiting, the version that I've been telling everyone to listen to, I go and listen to it, and it's got like a weird like digital like scratch in the middle of it. I don't know. But yeah, that would be nice. A preview, some kind of confirmation that it's all going to be okay is all I want.
I just need a distro mommy. I need a new service, distro mommy, that goes in and goes, honey, it's okay.
She goes, hi, my little distro kid. Listen, my little distro baby. It's going to be okay. And you go, thank you, distro mommy. So we're talking about a music video that we made for your song Teenage Feeling. Mm-hmm. People who are watching it live, right, watching us live right now, it's not available, but it will be, I think, Eastern time in like an hour. Mm-hmm. And we think it goes on YouTube, right?
It should be on YouTube, iTunes, Tidal.
Yeah. And it's got the reason why we went through Vimeo is because it's got like the official, what's it called? Vivo.
You mean just Vivo?
It's got the Vivo.
It's not going to be on Vimeo. I could
DistroVid. Put it on Vimeo. No, DistroVid. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We went through DistroVid because it puts the Vivo thing on it, which is cool.
It makes it look really official.
It makes it look like it's the real one.
But the video looks official already.
Yeah.
Even without the watermark. It's incredibly well done.
Yeah, I think we did a good job. I think that everybody did a really good job. I think it's a really good song. I think you had a really good performance in it.
Thanks.
And I think that we had a really good team of people. Wes Johnson came in, and that's great to have a really great experienced DP. Had a great camera op, had a great editor, great dancers, great hair makeup from Barbara, and great just like everything for Mimi. You need Mimi.
Oh my God, Mimi.
Yeah.
Mimi BFF that whole day. Two days.
Mimi Knowles. Anyway, we'll talk more about this as we go on. I want to talk more about this video later on in the episode, but just you're drinking a Capri Sun, which is great. Do you go to the store and buy
not chops?
What?
Props not chops.
Props is- not.
It's my it's a motto of mine as an actor for many years that, you know, I don't have any acting chops, but when I have a prop, like I can hold my own. Props, not chops.
Oh,
like voices, not choices. Have you ever heard that?
No, tell me about voices, not choices. I already know. I think what that means just by hearing
voices, not choices is an actor who just does a lot of voices to cover up the fact that they're not really actually making any informed, intelligent choices.
That's me.
And me. Oh, yeah. Okay. So your voice is not choices. I'm props, not chops. As long as I just need something in my hand at all times when I'm acting, because otherwise I don't know what to do.
But listen. Okay. Because you still need, because I also like, I love a prop in my hand. Mm-hmm. I love a prop in my hand. I love holding glasses, taking them off and holding that. But you need some chops to use those props well.
That's true, actually.
How many times do you see actors who don't know how to hold a cigarette? Oh. And it's like, oh, the cigarette's the best prop you can have.
That's me, actually.
Oh, well, figure that out. Okay.
I don't smoke.
Yeah,
I was very influenced by the D.A.R.E. program.
I did smoke for about 10 years straight. And so I learned how to look really cool.
Pin a rose on your nose.
That is the thing about smoking, is it's really fucking cool. That's the thing they don't tell you in D.A.R.E. is that smoking cigarettes is really fucking cool.
It looks cool. And like, don't try and tell me that vaping looks cooler than smoking a cigarette.
It does not. Vaping has never, like, I know that maybe for Gen Z it does. Like, I know that Gen Z have like gotten used to like the look of like, you sort of tuck the vape inside of like your sleeve or whatever. And you sort of just like take a little sneaky drag. And then like, obviously like the smoke exhale on vaping is cooler. You get like that bigger draw, like you would off of like a hookah or something.
Yeah.
but like you can't like the gesticulation with the cigarette, the emotive capabilities.
Right. And now you just have Lana Del Rey like with her vape pen like in her belt on stage instead of like holding a cigarette.
Yeah. I guess it's healthier, I guess.
None of it's healthy.
Stop being addicted to huffing smoke. The fuck is wrong with humans?
Hey,
knock
kids.
It off.
Hey kids, knock it off. Distro Mommy says knock it off.
Everybody knock it off. Like we gotta stop breathing smoke as a way to cope with life.
Yeah.
Props not chops. That's great. And yeah. Did you grab the Capri Sun just so
no,
that you
can... No, I just was in the fridge.
Yeah, what I wanted to know is like, do you go to the store and buy boxes of Capri Suns?
No.
Why do you have that?
This was given to me. It was a single that was given to me.
Who gave it to you?
Scott.
Okay. So yeah. Did Scott go to the store and get a box of Capri Suns?
You know what? Not a box. It was just the one.
He just had it.
So I don't know where he got it.
He was walking through
the
park.
I'll have to ask him, did you just find a Lucy?
I went to the bodega and I bought a Capri Sun Lucy. I like to think he was walking by like a kid's soccer game and they were like, hey, dude, you want a Capri Sun? And he was like, you know I do. And they like tossed him one. And he like, yeah.
That would be cool. Talking about looking cool. Don't smoke, kids. Catch Capri Suns midair.
And also, like, toss Capri Suns to strangers.
Just toss them.
Just be tossing Capris, right?
I remember once in high school, we drank a lot of Capri Sun in high school in my friend Emily's basement. And I remember once we had one that had, like, fermented.
No.
It had turned.
But did you drink it and get drunk?
Well, no, because I was very straight-laced. But I can't remember. I might have taken a sip and been like, oh, my God.
Wait, but did they drink it? And did they get drunk or did they just get sick?
I don't remember. I think we were like, ew, there's something wrong with this. And we tossed it like cool kids.
Yeah, you tossed it.
Tossed it.
Yeah. I wonder if you can make Capri Sun wine.
I'm feeling a little tipsy. But I think it might just be the sugar. Like I'm also very hungry. That might be it. Don't drink Capri Sun on an empty stomach.
Don't. Unless you want to get friggin' rocked. If you want to like have a really crazy time.
Yeah.
Capri Sun on an empty stomach and you will trip balls.
Watch out.
Yeah. See you later.
See God.
Yeah. The other night I was out to dinner with some people from the thing I'm doing and one of the guys we were out at sushi and one of the guys when he got his sake said kanpai, which I guess is like a kanpai. I think it's like a thing you say when you cheers with sake. But it sounded like he said goodbye. And I thought so we were all saying that all night long when people were cheersing, like goodbye.
Oh like, my God.
Like here I go. I'm gonna black out now. Goodbye. And I think that's what you would say when you drink a Capri Sun on an empty stomach.
For sure. Or like in Garden State when Zach Braff is like, see you guys later. And takes the ecstasy or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay. So Zach, Garden State, we can even start there. Garden State. That's a great example of like the kind of movie that was born out of the era of music videos that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like the thing about that movie was that it was an hour and a half long music video.
Pretty much.
To different songs.
It felt like a script written around a bunch of cool images that Zach had in his mind for 15 years.
Yes. And like to songs that he had been like listening to. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be like on his way to an audition listening to New Slang by The Shins. And he'd be like, oh, I'm going to put this in a movie. And I know exactly how it's going to go. And he'd like had the imagery in his head of how it was going to work.
Which makes – I feel like anyone – I mean, that's how I've written every movie. I've never really written a movie, but every movie I've written in my mind has been written like that. Like, especially when you're in your teens and your 20s. You're like, oh, yeah, this should be in a movie.
Do you think that that's the appeal to music videos is that it's like a little mini version of that. Because I love listening to music, and I always see it cinematically. Like every time there's a song that I like, I instantly am like, I'm not even thinking about the music video that I would make for it per se. I'm thinking about like where it would fit into a movie narrative and how and what the emotion would be at that point in the movie. And, you know, and it like helps me feel the song. But like, do you think that that's maybe like what's cool about music videos is like it's a little.
Yeah, I think maybe.
It's an entire movie devoted to that song's energy. Right. I don't know.
And also, I don't know, and it's circular in a way because then people love to pretend they're in a music video, just like, you know, when you're sitting in the car and it's raining, whatever song is playing, you're like, I'm in a music video right now. And you have to shed one single tear.
Yeah.
It's like, what came first? The tears or the music videos? That then I'm not making any sense.
It's like, who even knows? That Capri Sun is hitting so hard right now. You're tripping balls. Ooh, that's good. That's some good ASMR. That's some good Capri Sun ASMR.
Capri Sun. Get in the sun.
So the question about that I wanted to ask you is... do you think that we came of age in the golden era of music videos? And why is the answer yes?
I mean, we did because, wow, music videos in the 90s felt the way like social media feels now and the internet, and that like it was changing so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go from the beginning of the 90s to the end, let's say you start with like November Rain and then you end with like Scream by Michael Jackson. Like that is a huge like leap from one thing to another thing. So we had so many people were just trying so many different things. And then when CGI started to be a thing, everyone was like, well, this is music videos now. Like...
yeah, for a while there, it was like our music video is going to be actors in front of a green screen with lots of CGI stuff.
Yes.
Bad, like bad computer graphics going on around them. But at the time it was like, whoa, like, turned into a silver puddle.
Right. And then like fisheye lens, there was a big moment for fisheye lens, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it was the golden era because it was the Wild West. Well, I think the 80s was the Wild West for music videos, and I think 90s was, I can't think of a good metaphor. Help me.
Well, the 80s was doing a lot of stuff on sound stages. Like, it was a lot of stuff on, like you'd have the whole band in, like, a sound, you know, there'd be, like, girls sitting on a car, but the car would be on a sound stage, and there'd be, like, smoke and stuff, and then they would, like, the car would, like, drive away, and they'd, like, walk through a door, and it would be, like, this, you know, there's lots of, like, Queen music videos that are on big sets. And things like that, and White Snake music videos, where it's all like, I don't know, it just everything felt very like theatrical,
right?
And I think that part of the aesthetic shift in the 90s too was there was more of a feeling of like groundedness in just catching things in camera. Obviously, then the CGI stuff does come into play,
right? But in terms of the groundedness, do you think that was mirroring the music?
Yeah,
because
I think it depends on like what the song is and stuff,
right? Because the music became totally different too with Nirvana.
Yeah, I think even like saying like "Scream" by Michael or by Michael Jackson. I think that like I grew up with a DVD collection of Michael Jackson music videos, and going back to like "Rock with You" in the 70s, late 70s. It's just him dancing in front of like a green lasers while wearing like a silver jumpsuit. And that's the music video is him just sort of just grooving to, you know, and it's like, oh, this is the whole music video. And it's sort of like a green screen of like, and I think that Don't Stop Till You Get Enough is the same way. It's just sort of him like in front of like a green screen, just sort of grooving. And there were a lot of those in the 70s and early 80s too, where it was just sort of like there was something they wanted to do with visual effects, but they couldn't. It was still, I think the appeal artistically or creatively for me as a person who likes making music videos is the accessibility of them and the way that you can like do a lot with a little. And my favorite music videos often have really simple concepts and like one or two locations, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I see in those 70s and 80s music videos is like, let's come up with an idea that we can shoot in a day or two, you know, Tears for Fears. They're doing a music video that's just in a library. And it's like the band like walking around this library, you know, and like, and they're just like, we're just going to use the library as sort of the visual flair. And that's very much, I think, what's appealing to me in the sense of making them. But it felt like in the era that we came up, they started making like movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it had like a pre-roll with like a story beforehand,
right?
And then like sometimes it would go on afterward. And definitely Michael Jackson, I think, brought that up where it was like it was an event.
Of course,
like Thriller was a movie, you know. And mm-hmm. Smooth Criminal is a movie.
Oh my God, Smooth Criminal, one of my favorite videos for sure.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, I'm trying to think of this timeline here because when did Thriller come out? 81.
It's the 80s. Yeah. So I mean, like, I think that's the beginning. I think you can owe a lot to the revolution to Michael Jackson's videos.
Of course.
Like, people were starting to go like, oh, we got to compete, you know?
Right. But I feel like people weren't really starting to pick up on that and compete until the 90s. Like, I can't really think of a lot of other like 80s videos that were as ambitious as those Michael Jackson ones. Maybe they were all like, we're stepping out of the way.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, maybe, you know?
I do think that some of that soundstage stuff was trying to compete with the bigness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that in the 90s, we got into like with pop stars and stuff, there would be these like complex storylines and stuff.
Yeah.
And they would try things sometimes with, you know, with digital animation and stuff. But the things that stick in my mind, images from videos like Everlong by the Foo Fighters, or even like the simplicity of like Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, where you're following this sort of weird narrative of like these 70s cops. And I think Spike Jones made that video. And it, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is a little bit of romanticizing the period in which I grew up in, but it does I feel like in the 90s and early 2000s there was an accessibility to the viewer of music videos where it was like this is what people watched on TV.
Yeah,
was music videos.
And also we had TRL, like,
yeah,
it was music video, it was the main source of music in a way. There was radio and it was MTV and TRL. So a lot was being invested, I feel like, more so than these days into music videos, because that was it. That was, and do you remember making the video on MTV? That was,
I do remember making the video.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there was big music video premieres. It was always a huge deal. It's like, and now here is Britney Spears, Crazy.
Yeah, there'd be like a countdown of like the top music videos of that month or something. And then it'd be like, and you've all, and they would like have trailers for it. Like, you know, days, weeks in advance, like it's going to come out, this music video for Bye 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 and Sync. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
What did you watch on? So you watched TRL. Did you watch VH1?
I loved VH1. I was actually a VH1 girl, like, which feels like a pick me thing almost. Like, pick me for my generation, because I was young. I was, you know, 12 13 14, and being like, I like VH1 better, even though VH1 was kind of considered the more adult music channel than
I liked VH1 more too. I agree.
I loved like Behind the Music, because it was also a little more like educational, and I liked learning about shit. So I loved Pop-Up Video. And I loved like Behind the Music and all that stuff.
Even when I was a kid in the 90s, MTV didn't have enough music videos for my taste. I know that people who grew up with MTV in the 80s were like, it was only music videos and that was the only place to watch them. And that's where like Thriller would debut, or, you know, but then by the time I was a kid, a teenager, there were like several channels that I could watch music videos on. And like one of my favorite channels was The Box. Did you have The Box?
Didn't have The Box.
Oh, The Box. The Box was nothing but music videos. The Box is one of my favorites because they didn't even have like shows. It wasn't like VH1 Top 20 or it was just nothing but music videos. So if I just wanted to go and just watch a block of like an hour of just music videos, The Box was my joint.
Okay. So for me, that was MTV2. MTV2 was like, oh, here's for the people that miss the music videos and don't want to watch Real World.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So MTV started making too many TV shows for my taste. It was like The Real World and Jackass started happening in the early 2000s.
Oh,
like,
yep.
You know, things like that. But and they always had MTV News, which I actually liked MTV News and I missed it.
I liked MTV News.
Mm-hmm. And it was like with a typewriter news.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It felt like cool news.
It did. Mm-hmm. That's where I found out Aaliyah died.
Oh, shit. From MTV News?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because every morning I would wake up. And I at like 5:30 in the morning to get ready to go to school because, you know, I had to curl my hair with rollers at 13. And I would go downstairs and I would turn on MTV. And that was the first thing I saw, I remember, one morning.
Wow.
She and I have the same birthday. Anyway, here's – and that ends my string of fun facts.
I don't even think I watched TRL that much, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Yeah. What did you like about TRL?
Because they always were playing NSYNC.
Yeah.
And it was something to look forward to, and it was live. So, like, I feel like the only live things we really had were Saturday Night Live, you know, for somebody younger to be excited about. We had Saturday Night Live and then TRL. And it was something every day I would run home from school to watch TRL. It was exciting. Because who was going to win? Who was going to win the top spot? Is it going to be Korn or Backstreet Boys? They would duke that out for weeks. Is it going to be Korn, Freak on a Leash, or I Want It That Way?
That so is the era. Is it really was between the craziest things. It was like, is it going to be Linkin Park or is it going to be Christina Aguilera? And it's like, those are not the same thing at all. Yeah.
That's what's so great about it.
Evanescence.
Is it going to be Eminem or Mandy Moore? I don't think Mandy Moore ever got to the top spot. Sorry, Mandy. But
yeah.
I'll have to look that up. I'll have to fact check that.
No, surely. Surely Candy was at the top spot on TRL.
Candy was not a big hit.
Really?
No.
But so where did I watch Candy on? Because I definitely watched that music video.
Yeah, it was probably on, but I don't, it definitely like, it wasn't a number one territory. Not when you had Christina and Britney and Backstreet and NSYNC.
Do you think Jessica Simpson was even bigger than like Mandy Moore?
Yes.
Like with her stuff? Because there was also like, there's Backstreet Boys 98, or Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, but there was also like 98 Degrees LFO.
Of course.
But they're never, they're never vying for the top spot.
Yeah, Mandy was kind of like the Carly Rae Jepsen of it all at the time.
Mm.
She was just this, you know, the sweet little girl who was very talented, but just like didn't quite have the like that those other girls had. And that's why she's an actor. And that's why she does all this. I love Mandy Moore. I'm a huge Mandy Moore fan, actually.
What are some of Mandy. What are some of your favorite artists, favorite music videos from that era that you grew up with that like stick in your mind, that have images that you've like always held on to, or that were like, that you feel like maybe were formative for you?
Okay. Well, oh God. Well, all of Madonna.
Yeah.
So Madonna was huge. Like I, out of the womb, was a Madonna fan and just was obsessed with everything she did. The first video that I think I actually fell in love with when I was one was Take On Me by Aha. My mom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one. And my mom said that I would like go up to the TV screen and put both my hands on it and like stare at this music video. Like I wanted to try and get in the TV kind of the way she jumps into the drawing. So those were very formative to me, Madonna. And then like getting into the 90s, then obviously Baby One More Time.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is humongous. What's so funny is that like, I had such a weird relationship, quote unquote, with Britney Spears because I like hated her so much. I just hated her, but I knew every word and every step to that dance. And I knew that video shot for shot. And I was like, I hate Britney Spears.
Like in what in like the capacity that it was like cool to hate Britney Spears, that like that's what you told your friends. Like, I don't like her. I hate her. Is no. in like that capacity, or like you personally deeply seethed and hated her?
I seethed because she was with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
So okay. That was part of it. That was part of it. As if she were my competition. And also I was just like mad because I was like, she can't sing.
Yeah.
And here was I, like this 14-year-old girl that just all she wanted to do was be Britney Spears. Like she had everything. Literally, she had everything I wanted. And I was so mad. And I hated her. And I was it was just so much internalized misogyny. I was just like, she's a slut.
I think it was kind of similar with like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, where like, but it was kind of cool to be like, it was just like, it was like lame as a boy to be like, I like listening to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. You had to be like, I don't listen to that stuff, but then I knew every word to every song. So it's right. Like, apparently you do listen to that stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends knew all the words too. And then you grow up and you go to karaoke and it's like, oh, so we all knew all these songs, didn't we? You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Baby One More Time was huge for me. And Mariah Carey Heartbreaker.
So, Mariah Carey Heartbreaker is obviously, I think it's a big thing in, it plays a big role in the song and in the music video that we made.
Yep.
But also like Baby One More Time, Mariah Carey Heartbreaker, Dirty by Christina Aguilera, Unbreak My Heart by Tony Braxton. There's a thing here I want to talk about, which is the horniness of the music videos that we grew up with. They were so horny. And like
so horny.
And I look back and I'm like, I don't necessarily think it was appropriate for Britney Spears' videos to be that horny at such a young age and for them to always be making things so. And even like the boys, like with like the NSYNC, I'm like, they were like young boys and everything was so horny all the time.
Here's what's interesting. Britney's videos from the first album were not horny. They were sweet. We just categorize them as horny because she was attractive.
Wait, Baby One More Time's not horny.
I do not think that video is horny. Are you kidding me?
Schoolgirl with like the short skirt pigtails.
Exactly. You're saying it's horny because of the way she's dressed.
Yeah.
But nothing she's doing is sexual.
What do you think that video created the fetishization of like the schoolgirl look? Or do you think that the fetishization of that look existed before?
I think it existed before.
So they're playing on that look. I know is that me as a young little boy was like, it stirred to life the loins.
Of course. Of course. But I think, like, I don't know. I think, like, a lot of teenage girls are like, yeah, I want to look a little sexy, but they're not horny. You know what I mean? Like, she just went, I just think it would be cool if we just, you know, like, tied up our shirts and, like, you know, if we had, like, little schoolgirl outfits on. That's all she was thinking was, this would be cute.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever seen Toni Braxton Unbreak My Heart, though?
Okay, yeah.
Like,
well, that's an adult being horny.
That, but like, it was so needlessly horny. Like, that song is just like, she's just like, hey, you know, come back to, I miss you, unbreak my heart, come back into my life. But she's singing it all while being like so naked and soaped up in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember as a kid being like, oh, she's naked and so soaped up. And like, and like,
she's like, I'm just moisturizing.
Do you think Toni Braxton was just like, I just think that she's really thinking about this man coming back into her life while she's all soaped up with like lots of side boob.
She like had that idea in the shower, like most of us do. And she's like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the video.
And then little boys across the world were just horning it up, but it wasn't supposed to be horned up. It was supposed to be classy. And
right. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you're saying how the boys too. Yes. Now, boys were horny. They were doing a lot of humping.
So much humping.
And those boy, like, the, oh my God, there's this video of NSYNC where they just hump the floor. Oh, don't get me started.
Well, again, Michael Jackson popularizing, like, just very pelvic movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being like, this is going to be how you dance. It's very pelvic and just very like focused in that region,
and
to the
Prince.
Extent of like, I'm going to hold it. I'm going to put my hand on it.
Yeah.
And then you just, yeah, you had all those teenage boys doing choreography, which, you know, the link there is also kind of sad, which is like Wade, whatever his name is, was the choreographer for NSYNC, right. And he's, and Britney Spears, and he was mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's child boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah, that's another podcast, though.
Yeah.
That's a different episode. Do you think that we could classify the golden era, just so that I'm like, I don't think it's that we lived, that it like only happened during our adolescence. I think that it could be classified from like 1980 to like 2010. I think it could be that wide, that like a 30-year span. Like where it starts in 1980 and it starts, Michael Jackson starts kicking it off, and then people are starting to compete with that, and it's starting to really rev up, and you're getting these bands doing these big soundstage pieces, and then you get into the 90s, which is like where it really, I think, solidifies, and everyone's mm-hmm. starting to do bangers, and it's starting to come to the mainstream with so many different TV channels. Those TV channels have their heyday mid 90s through probably like mid 2000s, and it starts to taper off and turn into YouTube mm-hmm. around 2005. But the reason why I would cut it off around 2010 is I feel like the popularity of music videos has waned.
Yes. 100%. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
It's I think it's because of social media.
But it's like when it first went to YouTube, like Single Ladies, Beyonce Single Ladies or something like that, mm-hmm. like we had no problem with viral videos on YouTube. And I think that OK Go got started on YouTube, and that's really mm-hmm. kind of like where OK Go has thrived as a band, is like, they're mostly just known for their music videos, and it's not that artists aren't making music videos anymore. All the artists that I really like are still making music videos and still making good music videos. But I'm just like, why is there not the fervor around, why is it so hard to get people to go and watch?
Because they don't want to leave the app. Like, I actually don't consider YouTube social media. It's just like a video platform.
Yeah.
It's become more social media, but not really until like the more recent years. Like back when it started, it was just watching videos. It wasn't about, I don't think it was even like algorithmic yet back then. And so I just think now people are used to watching things that are shorter. That's literally, I think, the big thing about it. And
it's just like music videos aren't TikTok. And like that's.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, I TikTok really don't know.
TikTok probably started like really coming into its dominance in like late 2019, 2020, mm-hmm. early 2020. Do you think, and really the pandemic then took it over the edge, but do you think that, excuse me, I burped. Do you think
I've been burping this whole time. It's fine.
Capri Sun burps.
Yep.
I'm doing water burps. Do you think that this waning in popularity for music videos, or this difficulty in getting people to watch them, only started in the last like 4 years? I'm trying to remember. I'm like, was I still watching? Were people still en masse? Because like those Justin Bieber sorry video, that Justin Bieber sorry video that the dancers did and stuff mm-hmm. got like a billion views, and
right,
there's still things that pop up.
So maybe it is because of TikTok.
TikTok killed video, killed the radio star. TikTok killed the music video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Star.
Yeah.
It's so strange because TikTok, it has people engaging with musical artists in this way that they never have before, but it's like almost like people like that they get in on the ground floor. Like mm-hmm. they want to hear the song before it's the song. They want to hear Karuk and her partner like sitting on the floor going like, if I were a fish, shit, like just like they just wrote the song. They just wrote it, and they turned the camera on, and they're giving you the most raw, precious, unfiltered version of the song. And then everyone's like, now, cool, go record it in the studio and put it out now. And they're like, cool, we'll put a little bit more on it. But it's like, everyone likes that. They're like, I get to see the moment after that song was written.
Right.
And I don't want to see your fancy, expensive music video. I want to see your phone video of you putting the song together in your room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I think about that.
I don't know what I think about it.
I get it. But also, like, I fucking love music videos as like an art form. And I don't know. That's another thing about, that's a whole other conversation about TikTok in general, is that like, it's not about finding art. It's not a, you know, it's a place to find artists. But I think, as you know, sometimes when you're trying to post actual art, it doesn't do very well.
Yeah, I just like, I did an episode on this podcast, like, I think over a year ago, about the homogenization of art as a byproduct of things like TikTok, that just like, they want everything to be TikTok. That like, if you're a painter, you need to make a TikTok of you painting, and not, don't just show me photos of your paintings on Instagram, like make a video of you painting to a trending song. If you're a, you know, like obviously, like if you're a choreographer or a dancer, it's like, well, TikTok's actually like a pretty good medium for you, but it's also like, I don't want to come watch your like dance concert. I don't want to buy tickets to watch like a show of choreography. I want to watch like a 30-second clip of your choreography in the studio that you came up with that day in class. You know, like and not that that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's just that like, we've lost everything else. It's like, cool, that's fine. That can be one thing, but I don't like that everything wants to be that.
Yes.
Because I'm like, hey, that's, I totally get, it's kind of like having VH1 and having Behind the Music or something, or having a show like TRL, or having a show. What was the show that we were watching when you were in town? We were making the video.
Pop-up they do video?
Like, pop-up video. Yeah. Yeah. It's great to have stuff like that, but then also like, also just have the music video that you can just go and watch on YouTube. What is pop-up video again?
Pop-up video is they just play the music video and then little facts about the video, and sometimes tangential, like really funny, like sort of like free association facts will like also pop up throughout the video. That's all. It's just like little facts.
Yeah, they'll like point out things in the background and be like, right, LOL at this thing, or yeah, yeah. Like, or they'll tell you like little making of facts and stuff like
that. Yeah, they'll be like, Michael Stipe's hat's other hat, and then
oh yeah yeah
and they'll be like, hats were invented in blah blah.
And maybe this is just us being, we're just starting to age out of like what's in the zeitgeist or what's cool, but I was talking to someone the other day about how like I want special features on movies to come back, you know.
Yeah.
Like I just am like, hey, that was really cool for like 10-ish years there, where you bought a movie that you really liked in the theater, you bought it on DVD, and part of the fun of getting it was like, you got deleted scenes, you got bloopers, you got a making of featurette, you got a director's commentary. Yeah. Yep. Like, and I'm like, can we not have that on streaming platforms? Like, if a movie is on Netflix, could it not be like, here's the movie, and also here's the making of featurette, and here's the deleted scenes? Like, can we not have those? And I, but again, it
goes
into this.
Give me
a
DVD menu screen just for fun?
Yeah. Like, what? Like, why not? Why could that not be on there? Why could that not be attached to, especially like these older movies that did have those made? Like, if it's a movie that had a DVD that was popular in the 1990s or something, and it's on HBO Max or Max, why can't I get the special features? Like, I'm trying to get
the special features.
I'm trying to get the special feature.
Like, I'm sure this is such a good question, because people love binging. So like, why wouldn't they also be like, ooh, more please, more please. And like,
I know that's my thing, is I'm like,
legality stuff that keeps it from being out there.
Yeah. I'm like, if you find that song on TikTok, you find the artist like making the song, and you're like, oh, I really like the sound of this song. And then they release it on Spotify and you go listen to it. You're like, oh, the studio version turned out so good. And then you find out that they released a music video. I'm like, yeah, that's the next logical thing, is like, go watch the music video. And the thing that drives me nuts as a person who creates content on TikTok is I'm just like, guys, I know you like the little videos that I make in my room, but I made this thing with like a professional film crew. And I promise if you like the artistic sensibility that I bring to these little videos on TikTok, go and look at the thing that I put like a lot of time and energy into that. And it's like, it's like pulling teeth to get people to go and watch the music video. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if we got burnt out in that golden era from 1989.
Can you poll your audience?
Yeah, and be, maybe. Them.
I'm just so curious. I want to know, like, what the average TikTok consumer, watcher, viewer, like, have you jumped and watched this thing that I've been posting about? Why or why not?
Like, yeah. Yeah. A big part of it too is that the algorithm just sort of fucks me on that stuff. And yeah. I see that happen to a lot of artists where it's just like, it just like won't let me tell people.
Why is that?
Yeah. It's the worst. It's the worst. You even see the videos that I've been trying to post, like about this, about the music video that we made. And it's just like, I'm just like, and it's not just on TikTok. It's on Instagram. It's anywhere that if I try to say, like my story on Instagram usually gets like 5,000 to 6,000 views a day. And on the days that I post about this music video, it gets like 1,000. And I'm like, so you're just like not letting me tell people that this exists, which is like so stupid, because I'm sure if I was able to tell 10% of 1.5 million people that this video exists, I'm sure at least 10% of them would go and check it out. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a lot more than what I'm going to get if you only let me show less than 1% of people that follow me. You know, like, I still every single day have people be like, I didn't even know that this stuff existed. I didn't even know that you made music. I didn't even know that these existed. And I'm like, I know. So
I'm fascinated by the algorithm, also by the psychology. I don't know all of it. Like,
yeah, but I also know that I've had the experience of watching an artist that I like on TikTok tell me they have a music video out, and then myself not going and watching it.
Same.
And I'm like, okay,
why? So, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why didn't you? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't know. Maybe I made a mental note too, and then I didn't, because I wasn't done scrolling. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go and watch that, but once I'm done scrolling, but I wasn't.
This is the thing, because you have to leave the app. Nobody wants to leave the app. I think when it comes down to it, and because they've made it that way for us.
So longer videos are doing well for me lately on TikTok. Do I just need to post the entire video, music video, to TikTok and be like, here, you can just watch it here?
I mean, I don't know. Well, my friend Grace McLean put out a music video a few days ago, and she put up the entire thing on Instagram. And I was like, I wonder if I should do that.
How'd it do?
I don't know. I didn't go. I got in pretty early. I'll have to go check to see how it's doing.
Yeah. Anyway, regardless of who sees it or how well it performs, we made a music video.
Wham wham.
I'm incredibly proud of the music video we made. I heard this song of yours, and I instantly like was transported back to this era that we're talking about, this era of what I consider to be the right dead center in the middle of the golden era of music videos. We talked about like Mariah Carey, Heartbreaker, and sort of just these artists that were Britney Spears, Jessica Simpson, Christina Aguilera, 98 Degrees, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. But even videos like, you know, Steal My Sunshine or Sugar Ray, and were, you know, like these very iconic videos. And I just thought, I was like, I've been making music videos for a while of my own music, and I thought, I want to make a music video for this song that feels like this era that I grew up in. And luckily you were down to clown.
And, oh yeah.
And play.
And my literal dream has been, you know, for 25 years is to do that. And so I'm glad we got to do it.
What was your experience like? What was your favorite part of it? Like, what did you like?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know, because I was really nervous when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so nervous about teaching the dance. And I was actually very nervous about choreographing the dance. Like, I didn't get it fully choreographed until the day before. And I remember just being so nervous about it. But then when the dancers came in, like, it was like it all washed away. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think I scheduled like 6 hours for you guys to rehearse, and you texted me like 90 minutes into it, and you were like, you can come over, we're done.
Yeah.
And I came over to watch it, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you choreographed the shit out of it. That's there's so many reasons why I want people to go watch this, because I'm you don't see enough music videos with like full choreography with backup dancers these days. You do see dancing on TikTok and on Instagram, but you don't see music videos with like real dance sequences, and I think you choreographed it perfectly. It's, again, it's very evocative of like the style and the time period, and you're doing so many references in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got like so lucky with our group of dancers that we're all
they're
just
so
like
amazing
pros.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Way better than me. Like, so mm-hmm. I felt like
no, I said, mm-hmm.
yeah, no, but it's true. I felt like a true pop star in that way. In that like the dancers were better than me at dancing, as it should be.
No, but you really pop. Like you really like, it's not like people are going to watch this and be like, oh, she's really getting out danced by her back. That's not the case.
Right. But they can do tricks. Oh my God.
They got tricks. They're pros. They're yeah. You know,
I can do the splits. That's my trick.
I think you dance your ass off in the video and you look great. Yeah. I think that.
So I can't even pick a favorite part because the whole from start to finish, it was like, I was on pure adrenaline, but like a light adrenaline. Like I felt very buzzy. Like I'm supposed to be, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be here. I've been wanting my whole life to do exactly what we were doing. And finally I was there. I was like, everything's right. So I can't even pick a favorite thing because I felt amazing the entire time because everything was going right too, which is so rare.
That's how I felt too. I felt like it was really clean from conceptualization to us mm-hmm. like building the idea for the story to sort of like working out a shot list to assembling the team to getting locations locked down to the shoot. Everything just felt like it just kept moving really, really smoothly. Mm-hmm. And I just had an absolute blast. I really like being on that side of the camera and I really like doing it for someone that like for a song that's not mine. So I can just sort of like just focus on just trying to make the best video that I possibly can make. And everyone was so like down. Everyone was just a lot of the people that were working on our crew too were like also from the same generation that we're from. So everyone like knew exactly what we were talking about mm-hmm. and what we were trying to do. And so that all worked really, really nice.
You know what I loved?
What?
Setting up the bedroom.
Oh, that was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that shirt you're wearing, I found that shirt in a gas station in St. George, along with a couple others. We were, for like weeks leading up to it, I was just like buying random knickknacks and things to populate that bedroom with. And little did I know you were going to bring like your entire teenage bedroom with you mm-hmm. to Utah. And it like, I almost didn't need to buy anything. Cause it was just like, oh, well, like you actually have it all, but it worked out great because the stuff that the things that I brought mixed well with the things you brought.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We also bought a few things like the day before
mm-hmm.
we went out and like, and I was able to return a lot of the stuff that we bought, which is also great. Cha-ching. I was able
Thanks to Janet at Kohl's. What was her name?
Yeah, who gave me my Kohl's card. We got a bunch of Kohl's stuff. And then she let me return it all.
Wow.
Which was great. But yeah, setting up that room, dude. Once we got that decorated, it was like, and it's in the video for like probably 30 seconds, but like it's great.
It looks amazing. I couldn't believe how good it looked. And
we could have done the entire video in that room.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Once you all watch it, you'll see almost all of those posters are mine from junior high. I kept them all.
There's a wall behind Tiffany's bed in this music video. She wakes up in bed and there's a wall behind her bed and it's like so many posts. It's so thick. Like, honestly, I think it's a really impressive piece of set decoration.
I do too.
That we built in an afternoon and shot in that night. Like we mm-hmm. like got a lot done too in a small amount of time. But yeah, you brought like all that shit, like all there's photos of you and your friends from when you were a kid. And there's like CDs and with the jewel cases. And I ordered a Walkman on eBay. So there's like a Walkman. There's a Joey Fatone action figure. And you know, there, it just was like, there's so much stuff in there. There's so many references in this video. We have so many visual references.
Yeah, which is one of my, I just love references in general. Like that's another, like if I could think of a fun saying that's like props, not chops, like references, not, I don't know, something, that would be me. I just love making references.
Especially in a music video like this one.
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's mm-hmm. one fun thing for people who watch it is like, just like keep your eye out for how many different things you can spot that are like, oh, that's like that video from this artist from that. Mm-hmm. Cause like, there's a lot of that in there. I mean, we even have at the beginning, like you're watching that Steal My Sunshine video where they're mm-hmm. on the Vespas and then you're watching the VMAs performance
with Madonna and Britney Spears, where they're in the wedding dresses, mm-hmm. and both of those things show up in the video later on. Yeah. You had references in your choreography too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was referencing, well, there was like slight Baby One More Time references for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think, I can't think of any other specific ones, but there were like nods. There's nods to it for sure. Yeah.
That's a thing to definitely signify the drop off in popularity in music videos is like, remember when the Video Music Awards were like, it was such a huge thing.
Yeah, they still happen, but when was the last time I watched them?
No. When was the last time you even like cared about who won Video of the Year? Or it's like.
Used to be a dream to win a Moon Man.
Mm-hmm. It was an event to watch.
Yeah.
It was an award show to watch because the performances were going to be great. And also like everyone really cared about the music videos that came out that year because we were watching them, you know?
Those performances were iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, God.
Yeah.
Britney Spears VMAs 2000 is my favorite thing ever. It's when she comes out singing, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. With the little fedora on and the suit, and then she rips it off and she's in just the like flesh colored with the diamonds all over.
Yes.
My favorite. I think she's on top of the world. I know some people say they prefer Slave the following year, but no. It's all about that one for me.
Iconic.
And then she does Oops, I Get It, Did It Again. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Iconic. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell you what happened at the VMAs anytime in the last 10 years. The last time I remember like an iconic VMAs moment is like Kanye going up and taking over Taylor's acceptance speech and being like, is that the VMAs? I'm gonna stop you. And he was right. Because to be fair, he's correct. Single Ladies is a overwhelmingly better music video than whatever Taylor won for, which I don't even know what she won for. And I'm like, I don't know and I don't care. Single Ladies is.
It might have been Love Story. I don't remember.
Yeah, like who gives a shit? Like Single Ladies is one of the best dance music videos of all time.
Right.
And, you know, but like, so he was right, but you don't go up and interrupt someone's acceptance speech. But it's iconic.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's very iconic.
All about the iconic moments.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things about making these DIY music videos is, again, like we live in an era where we have equipment to do it pretty well. So like you can make a music video today that would have been impressive in the era that we grew up in. That like, with not a lot of money and a few friends who have like some nice camera equipment and like some decent locations, you can make a video that if it played on TRL today, people would be like, damn, and that's also the frustrating thing about it is it's like, I'm making these videos that are inspired by the videos that I grew up in, but no one gives a shit anymore. It's like,
I know.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want, but how do we make people give a shit again?
I don't know. Maybe this one will be the key. I don't know. Maybe they'll watch it and they'll remember. That's like my hope with this Teenage Feeling video is that it will like trigger the nostalgia receptors and they'll be like, oh yeah, that's right, music videos are cool.
Maybe
I don't know. I just hope people smile a lot while watching it. And
I mean it perfectly captures a feeling that I'm constantly trying to chase and was trying to chase with the song too, and it just like it's perfect. And so I hope it makes people feel like that too.
Mm-hmm. So it's past midnight where you are. Are you able to look up on YouTube to see if it's out?
Let me see. I don't know. I'm nervous that it's not.
Is it going to go to your YouTube? Like, what's it going to, or is it just going to be like on YouTube? Like on?
I don't know. This is what I'm confused about.
I know.
So when I like Google Tiffany, when I Google Tiffany Tobel Teenage Feeling, the thing we're recording right now pops up.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm so scared. What if it's not out tomorrow?
I know. Well, that's what I I got confirmation. Maybe it's not at midnight. Maybe it's at midnight, like a different time.
Maybe it's at midnight Pacific.
Maybe it's at midnight Pacific. I don't know. I could check iTunes because it's supposed to be on there too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
click, clack, click, clack. Okay, the music video is on iTunes.
Right now. Shit! Okay.
It's on iTunes. Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But right. How do I find... Well, I want it to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. Tiffany Topol, Teenage Feeling. You put that into YouTube and it doesn't come up?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Soon, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
It will.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, it's on... Yeah, it's on iTunes. Might be on Tidal, but I don't have Tidal.
Neither do I.
So...
Is there just like a Vevo website, or is that just a channel on YouTube? Or is like there like a Vevo?
Let's look. Come on. Vevo. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing like four artists. I don't know. This is. Okay, wait. Can I search on this? I don't know.
I mean, there's like a Vevo channel on
right.
on YouTube.
But even like it was supposed to like create a Vevo account for me, and like that isn't even a thing. It doesn't look like. I don't know.
Yeah, well, hopefully it comes out soon. So it's on iTunes. Okay, so we have at least confirmation iTunes. That it's somewhere right now.
Yeah.
A few minutes past midnight on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because it's a few minutes past midnight, want to be conscious of your time. You've got stuff going on in your life. What are you doing right now? So people should go check out the album on Spotify mm-hmm. if they haven't already. You're in a show.
Yeah. I'm in Cabaret at Barrington Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
How's it feel to be back on stage?
Tiring.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I hear people. So I think... My castmates were just banging on my door for a while because they were like, where's the link? And I just heard them go, yay. So maybe they found it.
Maybe they found it.
And they're in the room next to me.
Okay. Well, I should let you go watch it with them. That's
cute. I'm not going to watch it with them.
They're cheering.
Yeah, they are cheering.
They must be watching it.
They must be. And even that makes me embarrassed because they kept being like, listening party. And I'm like, no. Or like watch part, because I get really embarrassed when people watch or listen to something that I've made when I'm in the room.
I get that.
Like I'm nervous right now, just like hearing them.
Yeah, the same thing happens to me when I like with the music videos. It's the same thing that happens with my songs, where like I'll be super stoked on a song that I'm working on, and like mm-hmm. It's like in my cans and it's in my head, and I'm the only one who knows it. And then I put it on in the car for someone, like one of my friends. I'm like, check this song out that I'm working on, and instantly I'm like, I don't know what happened to it. It's way worse now. I don't know. Like you being here has made it worse, and I don't know how that happened. And
what
the same
did you
thing
do?
Happens with music videos, where I'm like, it's just like me and the editor working on the video, and I'm like, this is so fucking good. We did such a good job. And then I release and I show it to a friend and I'm like, watch this. And I put it on and they're watching it. And I'm like, it was better. I promise. I don't know why it looks really bad now. And I don't know what, you know? And so,
yeah. That's some dark magic there.
Yeah. I was going to say that like sometime this weekend, we should do a live stream and watch it.
Okay.
Or would you want to do that on like Instagram or something?
Yeah.
Or would that feel weird?
No, that's okay. Because
people are digital.
They're digital.
Yeah.
Okay. I have fully like adapted to, you know, as much as I'm like, oh, I miss the old days. I'm like, well, no, this is great because like, I don't have to see anybody's face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could do that. Sure.
All right. Well, if you figure out where they found it and where they watched it, your castmates, let me know. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to plug right now? You want to talk about?
No.
Just we need everybody listening to the podcast to go watch the music video.
Ready, yeah.
And then share it with everybody. Go look at this music video. It makes me feel like the music videos I watched when I was growing up.
And I like the song.
And the song's great.
Yeah.
And it's, she's really hot while she's dancing. It's, remember when music videos were really horny? Look at how horny.
Horny she is. Wow, what amazing direction. The direction in this is so good.
Yeah.
Like this looked like this, this looks like this came together so smoothly because it had such a great leader, you know.
I don't think our video is very horny. Like,
it's not horny.
No, it's not. No. It's sweet. It's wholesome.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Baby One More Time. If Baby One More Time is horny, then Teenage Feeling's horny.
Yeah, Teenage Feeling could be horny for, I think there could be some people that are like,
just some people might, I don't, well,
there's hot people in it.
There are hot people in it.
There's hot people in it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
viewers could get horny, mm-hmm. but the video's not horny.
We didn't make, we weren't like, what's the horniest concept we can come up with?
Right.
We weren't like, what if it's me and you in the shower all soaped up and sudsy?
That's my next one.
That's the next one, is it's just shower.
Enough to go around, which has nothing to do with that.
But
we're going to do a video.
Full Toni Braxton ref. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. We did it.
We did it.
Good job.
It's out there. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good run of your show out in Massachusetts.
Thanks.
And bye-bye.
Bye.
'All right, that's it. Still on the phone. I'm still on the phone, okay? I'm recording this right after I recorded the intro, just directly into my phone. But that's it, okay? Go watch the video. If you made it all the way through that whole entire podcast and you still haven't watched the video, what are we doing? What's even going on here? Are we even friends? Like, for real. Go watch it. Give it a little like-ski. Give it a little comment. Maybe share it with a few people. Give us some love, will ya? Would love it, okay? Would love it. Would love the support. For everyone who has watched it, everyone who has commented on it, everyone who has shared it, thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. That's the show, all right? Not going to spend too much time here talking into my phone, but that's it. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music. Also by me, you can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. Actually, some of the theme music that I used on this week's episode of the podcast was by Tiffany Topol. I used some instrumental music from her album. So the music that's playing under this right now is from her album. So she actually did it. And you should go check her album out too on Spotify. It's called Sophomore Effort. It's a great album. Start to finish, it's fantastic. I think you'd really, really like it. You should check that out. Patreon.com/Austin Archer. How about that? Go over there if you'd like to support this show. Shout out to the Patreon patrons. Thank you so much for your support of everything I do on the internet. Really, your support is invaluable and means so much. If you'd like to join us and you have the means to give a monthly contribution over there on Patreon, we'd love to have you. Okay, that's it. Go watch the video. Go check out Tiffany's music. Yeah, that's it. That's all the things. Love you so much. We'll see you next week. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.